Webster's defines atypical as not like the usual, normal type. Well, welcome to The Atypical Podcast from theatypicallife.com. I'm Matt Mooney.
And I'm Jenny Mooney.
Here, we take a look at all kinds of things.
We may tell you stories, talk with a friend, or interview someone more widely known and ask them all kinds of questions. Or sometimes, we may just discuss the current happenings right here in our own lives. It's called a Matt Chat.
Through all of it, we hope to give you a little something atypical as you listen along your typical day.
And today we've got a Matt Chat. Jenny, you want to get off your phone and join me?
Not really. I just want to keep it. keep looking at it.
You're geeking out on your phone. Don't want to rob you of that joy because why are you on your phone? Why are you still?
Well, happy Valentine's Day to me.
Well,
you got me a phone for Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day to you. I did get you a phone to celebrate how blissfully in love I am with you. So happy Valentine, my Valentine.
Thanks. And you know, I got you something great too. Nothing. I didn't get you anything. I'm sorry.
I know our love is a one-way street, and that's becoming more and more apparent every year.
Well, that is my gift to you, is to let you have the upper hand, right? Is that you feel like you're, you know,
the best.
Yeah.
It's working.
There you go.
It's working, particularly today. It is Valentine's Day. We're recording this. We're going to actually talk about Valentine's Day later, and we're releasing this after Valentine's Day on purpose. We'll talk about that. But Jenny, you got a phone? That's exciting.
I got a phone. I went to the AT&T store to get it set up.
Yeah, you did.
I'm not going to lie. The guy was not super helpful.
Let's talk
now,
about it, AT&T.
I feel like maybe my expectations of what he should have been doing to help me is not what other people's are. I kind of thought.
Well, as you say that, you took the phone in for the goal was for him to move it from your old phone to your new phone, get it turned on. What were your expectations?
I wanted to, even as I say it, I know it's silly, but I thought I could go in and like everything that's on this phone will just, in an instant,
snap of the fingers,
be on the other phone.
Right,
and
that's
he was like, yeah, you can just finish this up at the house.
Yeah,
house. I'm here.
You mentioned he wasn't quite helpful. Is that an accurate description?
I'm not judging him at all. There was some.
Wait, hold on. That everybody needs to know. She, right before she tears him up, she says a little something like that.
Well,
so go ahead. Continue.
Here's the thing. I had different expectations of what it meant to help. And then on top of that.
Hey, wait, was he a giggler? Because I was in the day before buying this phone and I had the awkward giggler guy.
No, I'm the awkward giggler on the podcast though.
Yep.
No, I think that this was not the same guy because I would take awkward giggler over awkward silence guy. I mean, he sat there in the awkward silence and he would like, okay, so he's backing up iCloud or whatever. And you know how it has like that line on your phone that turns blue and like it says about 22 minutes remaining for backup.
It's moving.
He just held it in his hand and looked at it the same way that like I would scroll through Instagram or something, like something's happening, but nothing was happening. And finally I say, so got any plans for Valentine's Day?
Nice. Oh, well, this presents, maybe he thought you were like coming on to him, throwing a little game.
I was not throwing game with awkward silence guy. I've never thrown game before.
Au contraire. 2000, Kennecuck, the lake, on the Lake of the Ozarks.
No.
You, me, you were throwing game like a Mack truck.
No.
Jenny, it's true.
No.
It was happening.
Look, let me assure you that neither the AT&T guy or myself, there was no game being thrown in the awkward silence of this interaction.
You may have intimidated him with your beauty, is all that I'm saying. But, you know, let's go ahead and go there. It's a good segue for us. Let's talk about Valentine's Day because this does air after Valentine's Day, and that's actually on purpose for us. We didn't want to talk about Valentine's Day beforehand, because maybe you just eat it up, you love it, you gnaw on it, chew it up, you're all about it.
We don't want to rain on your parade.
No, we're not here to hate.
You enjoy it. It's
but
great.
We are going to kind of unpack our feelings about Valentine's Day, and we do have mixed feelings about it, but I made a list. I actually took the time and I wrote out a list. And this is afterwards, so I don't even feel that bad. I was writing down, you know, all the good of Valentine's Day. I got done with that. And then I wrote down all the bad, and I just kind of had to stop.
And here's the thing. I think people generally fall, whether you realize it or not, you fall into a camp. You're like for it, and you get a lot of warm fuzzies with it, or you're sort of like eye rolling. You know, like
yeah,
it's either that. Or, you don't realize it, but the thought and like commercials are like the guys running into Harps last minute, getting their balloons and candy.
I was
you
that guy
look
yesterday.
At that and you have a feeling.
I was
either
that guy.
It's aw or eye roll. I feel
come
like
on.
Those are your two
and
categories.
So I made my list of good and bad, and there are good things. There are good things about Valentine's Day that we celebrate. One is it celebrates love. We like love. Jenny, we're in love.
There you go.
We love. In fact, I'm lecturing, talking to the kids this morning as they're eating their strawberry Cheerios, totally way too early for dad to lecture is the look that they have on their face. But, you know, I'm saying, hey, kids, you know, we want to talk about the source of love, and the source of love is Jesus. John 15 tells us, you know, that greater love has no man than this, than to lay down his life for his friends. And I mean, I would say they were mesmerized with my brilliant, eloquent speaking.
No, they heard you.
I doubt it.
You know.
They looked at me with blank stares like, can we get back to our Cheerios? But we celebrate love, and we as believers and what we believe in, what we do, we talk to our kids about that. And we like any opportunity to talk about love is good, and to talk about the source of love. Hey, it includes chocolate. That made my list. Jenny, you love chocolate.
I'm a big fan.
Can't be too bad if it's got chocolate involved in it.
Yeah.
And that was the whole list of the good. So we talk that's it. Those are good. And you and I just kind of like, on the mixed side, I'll start with just one of the things that just seems a little, Valentine's, it just seems a little Hallmarky to me. Like, it seems like I can just picture men in suits, women in high heels sitting around a conference table, and they're just talking about how can we milk this Valentine's thing for just the greatest profits ever.
I'm with you. I don't know as much on the marketing thing, but I feel like it's this one time of year where with your significant other, you have to try really hard. Like, why is that the case? Why do we have to try really hard on one time? But I mean, I'm not anti.
Yeah,
we
just
don't really get
into
super
it.
Into it as far as pressure, but there is a lot to celebrate. And we did. It was fun, like you said, to talk with our kids about love and the source of love and how God is love. And I mean, these were good topics. That's about as far as I get with the good, because then I just can go head first into the not great.
So on to the bad a little bit, just, you know, not a long list here. We're not hating again, but all of our favorite restaurants they're going to be completely packed here in Fayetteville, Arkansas. All the ones we like, there's going to be like a wait. And here's the deal about that. If we could get a sitter, and we can't get a sitter because the college kids are too busy going out with their boyfriend that they met last week to really
celebrate.
Or
having the, you know,
Galentine's
Day is a thing.
Oh, what
girls,
is that?
Galentine's Day?
Oh, Galentine's.
It's like get together with your girls that are your friends
like
and hang out.
Is that for the single, almost single ladies?
Probably both. I mean, I think it's just a way of
saying.
Well,
let me just tell you, if you're Galentine's, if you would have been like, I want to go out with my friends last night, I'd have been like, what? I mean, but I didn't know that there was a thing. Now
it's
that there's
a
hashtag on it, hashtag Galentine's, I probably would.
I feel like there
I'd
might.
I'd probably give you the, like, go do that, girl.
It seems like maybe something a little bit younger than us do.
Okay. Like,
I don't know any of my age group that does it, but like college girls are doing it. Like, our sitter was going to do it until they all got the flu. Apparently everyone at the U of A has the flu.
There's
a lot
of flu going around the area, but okay. Galentine. There we go. I didn't know that. I feel like I should have done a little research on Galentine's.
You've never heard that before?
You know what? Now that you say it, I think I saw it on social media and just was like, people don't know how to spell these days. I'm serious. I had no idea it was a thing. But also,
it's a thing.
Like, I'm not following a lot of college girls.
Right.
So
right.
There you have it.
You don't follow many people who are
it's a
really.
It's a vicious celebrating cycle.
Galentine's.
You don't follow those people, you don't know what's going on in the world. You follow those people, you're a weirdo.
No, you follow those people, it's lots of pictures of themselves. So that's it.
Did you just say college girls like the selfies?
Selfies. I mean, we had this is a great tangent. We had breakfast for Valentine's Day.
Today.
Breakfast day.
It was wonderful,
and
Jenny.
They're over there, these two girls, sweet college girls in their sweatshirts and their stretchy pants and their socks and their kids, gave each other little gifts. They had, what do they call, bright crawlers? You know, the like sour gummies.
You're talking about all sorts of things I have no idea.
Sour gummy worms? They're called bright crawlers. Anyway, they give those to each other.
Why don't we call them sour gummy worms?
They like take a picture of the bright crawlers by their face, and they take a picture of the coffee by their face, and they do a duck face, and they just like non, like these girls. Yeah, oh, duck face and tongues out.
Maybe they were doing Galentine's. Maybe they were on, we were on our Valentine's date. Maybe they were doing a little Galentine's. They got candy.
I realize selfies are like a cultural thing that I don't really get. Like if I'm in the picture, I'm uncomfortable. I'm taking it off myself. Every now and then it happens. I just am not. It's like a normal thing for people.
It's not as foreign to me because I think the world revolves around
right.
This is
my
every day.
However, you take a 5-minute interval and they probably took, I don't know, 15 pictures of themselves, 30 minutes.
I didn't get to watch this, but as you say that, I just kind
of
want to.
What do they do with that many pictures of themselves?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm in agreement. And here's the thing. There's people out there probably listening right now that are applauding us, and they're called older. And there are people that are just kind of shaking their heads like, no. You need 1,000 pictures of yourself every day. They're called younger. And so I think we'll have to explore this a little deeper, Jen. I mean, I don't want to get down on everybody. We were already down on Valentine's. Now we're down on the whole generation of millennials.
No, I'm not down on them. I'm just the old lady trying to figure it out.
Just trying. You know? We're just trying to figure out why you need another picture of yourself. So, I mean, most likely they were posting this picture of themselves out there into the world.
Yeah.
Here's what we need to do.
Breakfast with Caroline.
Here's what we need
to
do.
Gummy worms.
I've figured it out, Jen.
What's the answer?
We need to, these people, this technology is, it's native to them. They've grown up with it. They've never not had it. Taking many pictures of themselves a day is totally a comfortable thing to us. It's kind of new.
I love how you said A and then you changed it to many. Taking A, many pictures of themselves.
Taking a lot. But I think we need to come up with Matt and Jenny's rules for social media. Like stay in these rules, stay within these boundaries. How many selfies a day would you say, okay, like that's a pretty good selfie diet? Like, you know, little millennials come to us. Like, let's say maybe my nieces, you know, like we got teenage nieces. We won't single them out. Let's just say like any collegey or high school girls, boys too, I'm sure, or I can't call
them
men.
That's a good question.
Do they do it?
What role does gender play in selfies? I feel like a ton more girls do it, but maybe guys are like flexing their muscles or something.
Yeah, again, that's probably who you follow. You're probably not following a lot of college guys.
No.
So, and if you are, we need to talk. Right? You already have been hitting on the AT&T guy. If you're following all the little teenage boys, the Beavers, and
I would have had some sort of snapshot of me with the AT&T guy to see how
not the situation. Not gaming it. Well, anyway, so here we go. I mean, if you're a millennial and you're listening, and odds are you're probably not, but if you are out there, turn it up, all right? Maybe get out a pen. We'll give you just a second. Get out a pad, because here come Matt and Jenny's social media rules. Number one, Jenny, we didn't really prepare for this, but let's just go off the top of our heads. If I were a let's stick with the woman, the girl, I'm a 19-year-old college freshman at the University of Arkansas.
Okay.
I've got my phone. I've now had my smartphone for most of my life. I take a lot of pictures, and I'm rushing a sorority. How many selfies a day should I kind of try to limit myself? A little selfie fast, a little selfie diet.
Are we talking about how many you take or how many you post? I think there's two different categories.
You know, I think let's start with how many you take. Like if I just picked your phone up and I could look at your deleted photos too, how many selfies would I have where you say, you know, you're probably doing this a little too often?
I mean, the girls at breakfast took a lot. in how a short many? Amount of time.
Okay, so you're not answering the question.
My guess was 15.
So double digits. Should there ever be a day where you take double digit selfies? My instantaneous answer is never.
No, never.
Ever.
Stop that right now.
So let's stop it. Rule number one, Matt and Jenny, here for the millennials. There should never be a day where you take over 9 selfies. Okay?
That's right.
That day should never come.
If you hit that number, you need to look inward and say, what am I doing with my life?
What could I be doing with my life?
Well, how could I be more productive with my time?
Yes.
How could I think of something other than the way I look in this picture?
Or maybe I need to find a pretty tree and take a picture of it. Maybe that's it. So rule number two would be on the posting. So now we'll hit up the posting, Jenny. Rule number two, how many selfies should you post a day?
I mean, I think one is annoying, but...
Well, we're not going to absolutely do away with the selfie here.
One per day would be...
One per day. A limit of one per
day. But I think that we'll give you that. Of the generational gap here, I'll give you one per day.
So I think that presents a few problems. Because if you looked on someone's feed and you saw 365 selfies in a year, we would both agree they did not stay in our rules. They did not understand. Though they might have lived by the law of our rules, they did not understand the heart of our rules.
The general concept of the rules.
So there's two rules, and really three. One was just on your limit of selfies that you're doing a day, regardless of if you're posting them or not. Okay. Make that note. Go ahead.
Single digits.
Rule number two is just one daily selfie posted out there to the world in any way, shape, or form. That's rule number two. Then rule number three was just stop it. All right. And so we're here to help you. That's the Atypical Podcast.
You're welcome.
That's our social media rules. You can write those down. You can find those on the internet. And probably nowhere else, but we're going to keep going with this. We somehow got into selfies, galentines, and social media. Is it galentines? Am I saying that right? Doesn't feel right.
It's just a G instead of the V.
I know.
And so it makes it gal, your gals.
You learn all kinds of new things here on the Atypical Podcast. So let's go back to... let's just go back to Valentine's Day, because one thing that we did talk about this week, and we do want to salvage the Valentine's Day conversation to say, you and I, Jenny Mooney, we are fans of love, and we are fans of marriage, and we actually talk about this quite a bit, and we are honored to be able to do this sometimes, but sometimes we do premarital counseling, and we do that with folks who either... I've officiated a couple weddings, or people have asked us to do that in weddings we're not officiating, in some
friendships,
not real formal ways. Yeah. But we love doing that. We love talking to people when they're engaged or they're going to get married about marriage. And we always say, hey, you know, we're about to tell you everything to be leery of, to think through, to worry about. But let's just back up to say, we really love marriage. We love love, and we're all for you. Now we're going to talk about every dark night of the soul that we've had in our marriage.
Well, that's the thing. You want to like kind of warn people. You want to give them the like red flags, things that they may not even really talk about or get to till maybe years into their marriage, maybe day one, who knows, depending on different people's journey and relationships. But we always have this point when we're talking to them, because we're telling them all these like warnings, red flags, things to be aware of, you know, like these are major things that cause problems in your marriage, you know.
For instance, like if she takes over 10 selfies a day.
No. We're going to add that one to our list. But we always have this point where we stop and we say, look, this seems so doom and gloom, but really it's the most beautiful, amazing, refining, fun thing. You know, it's really amazing. But we do kind of, we have to shift that in the middle of a conversation. We're given lots of warnings.
And so today I thought we would just take a second here in the throes of Valentine's Day. In the aftershocks of Valentine's Day. And we, Jenny, we would hand out a little love advice like we do to our premarital buddies, friends, and folks that we get to talk to. So if you will, we'll switch now to the Atypical Love Line. And we are going to talk. Jenny, you are probably less excited about this list than I am, because we were married 16 years ago in Mississippi. You may remember it, Jenny.
I remember.
You were there. And... we had some premarital counseling. Now, We never lived in the same place in our dating relationship. So our premarital counsel was like, our premarital counseling was crammed into an afternoon where I actually got to come and see you and we got to hang out. And so we were married by a guy named Dickie Love. I'm not making that up. His name is Dickie Love. He married us. I mean, right here, we're talking about Valentine's. And, but Dickie gave us some great advice. So before he officiated our wedding, we sat down with him in this day that we crammed together to do our premarital counseling. And Jenny, we have regurgitated these words that he spoke into us at that time to so many people. He gave a 3-point list, which we're about to give you. And he said, I know most, if not all, of the problems that you guys are going to encounter. That's the way that he kind of got our attention. Now, you got to remember, we were 21 and 23. Do you remember, Jenny?
I remember.
I had a few less gray hairs. You
had a lot less gray hairs.
You were beautiful then, like you're beautiful now.
Aww.
See how I did that?
Aww.
But we sat in his office and we just laugh at 21-year-old Jenny and 23-year-old Matt at how naive we were, because as he poured this list out to us and we were, you know, taking notes furiously and very serious about this, we were doing our counseling and we're going to get married and we're going to be the best marriage ever. You know, as we were doing that, you know, we both admit that we came out of this list kind of laughing at it, like, totally understand that people struggle with that, but not us. Like, we are going 1, 2, 3. We're going to be fine.
Well, and there are three like simple things. And I thought it would be more like communication skills or blah, blah, blah. Like all these like just kind of more in-depth stuff, because the three things are pretty simple, but they actually have proven to be monumental.
A nice little list here on the issues we walked through. And so, now Jenny, there's a particular part of this list. We're just going to get it out of the way early. You are not one to open up your life, be vulnerable, or talk about certain issues or certain points, but we're going to get on this list. Did you have something you wanted to say there? I heard you kind of breathing.
Well, I was just going to say, I didn't want to bring this up. Now, if I have coffee with you, I'm happy to talk to you about all of these things.
You as a person that's listening to this podcast.
Yes.
Yeah, not me. But if you
I don't want to talk to you at all.
Right. If you have coffee with someone, you're happy to talk about this. But it's not, and that's completely fair. So let's go to the list and then people will understand what the heck we're talking about. But he said in our premarital counseling, let me tell you the where your problems are going to center around. He said, number one, sex. Now, this is the one whereby, Jenny, you don't really love or want to talk about, but it's on the list. Number two, in-laws. And number three, money. Now, that was the whole list. Sex, in-laws, and money. Now, here's how 21-year-old Jenny, 23-year-old Matt, I can only speak for me, and I'll speak for 23-year-old Matt. Here's how I went down that list. Sex, we're going to have it. It's going to be great. In-laws. Oh man, we both have families who love us and love and follow Jesus. So checkbox, we're good on that one. Money, we don't have any. So what's the problem? We were very naive. And so we often talk to folks and unpack this list in a deeper way than we're going to be able to do on this podcast. But if you're taking notes there, it's a 3-point list. Where do you want to start talking about this list, Jenny?
Well, I'll start us with in-laws. And when we sat with him, we said, look, we love both of our families and both of our families love us. And he essentially said, sometimes when you come from a really stable family, that can be harder as far as becoming your own family unit than if you come from, like, you know, everybody has all kinds of things that we bring into relationships. And so, you know, we understand that this isn't some comprehensive thing, but the idea is really setting your family as your family and setting those boundaries and figuring that out. And that was really good. I mean, we didn't know in the moment how good that would be, especially once we started to have kids of our own and kind of became our own family unit, and how you set those boundaries with extended family. And so he guided us and counseled us in that. And it was just super cool to not even know what he was talking about and then to see it flesh out over years is really cool.
Absolutely. And I'll be so bold to talk about sex because I know you won't. And basically, I'll just say that the only thing we're going to say on this podcast about sex is that's just something that you have to figure out together. It's something that you have to navigate together. It looks different at different seasons of your life, or stress plays a part of that, or whatever can be, you know, we're not going to unpack that one too much, but if you want to have that cup of coffee, we will talk to you about it. It's something that you navigate together, and we're big fans of it. And three is money. We've just found that as best as young couples can, and we were able to do this, and a lot of things came into play, and a lot of people helped us with this reality. It's not like we just did it on our own, but as best as you're able to go into a marriage without debt, or to have conversations about debt if you have it, and to have really realistic expectations of like, this is our income and this is how much money we're going to spend. That one is really important, and it's so easy to kind of not talk about and not unwittingly not be on the same page about.
Yeah, that's right.
And it will come up, yeah. And it will bite you if you as a husband and wife are not on the same page together on that. It's going to be a constant source of frustration for somebody who's a little tighter, or somebody who's spending but not realizing that that's a problem, or whatever. So again, there you go. The Atypical Love Line. Three, our top three there of problems that can come in a marriage: sex, in-laws, and money. There you have it. I would like for you to refer to me today as Coach Matt. And I'm getting now, used to being called that, and I like
this topic. You know, I got all red faced and awkward with the last topic. This one I can really talk about because you're doing such a good job.
Well,
you're doing
thank
a great
you.
Job. I'm happy to call you Coach Matt because you do a great job. Matt is coaching Anders' first grade basketball team,
first grade boys,
and Hazel's second grade girls basketball team. Now that coaching experience is drastically different.
Yeah, let me talk about that. First of all, also, LC, who's been a little guest host on this show and a periodic guest, we hope to have her on again soon. LC is helping me coach the girls, which has been so fun. So I am tired. I'm tired because I'm coaching Anders and Hazel's team. Now, last year I coached Hazel's team, and you and I, Jenny, you and I both played basketball. We both enjoy basketball. And so it seemed like a good idea. I'm going to coach Hazel's team. They needed a coach. The boys already had a coach last year. So this year, of course, Anders looks at me and says, I want you to coach me. To which I say, oh, Jenny, we got a little problem. And so I couldn't say no. And there's so few things in my life that I feel like I can't say no to. But I was like, I have to coach him. I coached her. Well, then both teams ended up needing a coach. And so I said, Jenny, let's do this.
He means him.
I need your support and ever-loving generosity. So I am coaching Hazel and Anders team both. So we have back-to-back practices on Tuesdays. And then on Saturdays, we will have our basketball games. And interesting that we're talking about this today, because I just today got back from attending the funeral of one of my coaches. So he was a father of the coach and a father-in-law of my other coach. But from seventh grade, you know I love to talk about basketball, Jenny.
We love to talk about high school
Fort
basketball.
Fort Smith Christian Eagles. Seventh grade through 12th grade, we called him Coach C. It was Coach Cluck, Jerry Cluck. He set in at every game all the way through, as I played for 6 years of basketball. Is that six? Yeah. Ooh, I need to go back to math class. And so I went to his funeral today, and I'm in literally like just in this coaching season, and we can talk about basketball because it has been, you know, it has been, like the girls, let me tell you about the girls. They listen. That's what girls
do. Listen, and they're so teachable. Like they sit there, like you tell them to work on something, like they work on that.
They go and they do it. You tell them to line up at the elbow, and guess what they do? They line up at the elbow and wait for you to tell them to do. The boys, they can't sit still or listen for 3 seconds. By the time you
touching each other, and just pushing each other,
giving each other fives and laughing and tooting and squealing, they're non-stop. And so the girls are a little bit more my jam in that they're in my comfort zone. Yeah. I'm like, okay, girls, we're gonna learn the game of basketball. And you know, they just kind of smile and they look up at me, and we get better. The boys, I'm like, I'm so tired of trying to get their attention. but I have come to enjoy both ends of this continuum. It is very different. It is very crazy. And in fact, Jenny, I think we ought to mic me up for a game. For a practice or a game.
No, I mean, either one.
I think probably a practice
would
be
fascinating.
So hopefully we won't do
mic
that.
Up, Jenny, Coach Matt. Mic up, Coach Matt.
Stop spinning.
Don't pick your nose.
We may have to bleep out, some of my like talking under my voice because I'm just so like, oh my gosh, I can't get them to line up.
And I always want there to be like, I always kind of want to explain, not that people are, I don't know, people are maybe watching or not watching, but I kind of want to explain like that kid is his son because there are times.
Okay. So yeah, I mean,
you got a fistful of Anders jersey with one hand and a pointer finger in the other. Yeah. And there's no other kid you're doing that to, but really there's probably no other kids who need that. It's a little bit of both.
One thing that I've learned I'm learning. Here we go. It's a full on learning thing. But one thing you learn, I mean, you definitely coach your kids harder and I feel bad for that. Like I don't coach them harder. Like I constantly am saying like I'm in kind of an intense person. I'm kind of a leader but I don't care if we win or lose. Like that is not what I care about with this girls and boys team. I don't care if we score, if you make the shot, if we win. I do care that you get better at the game of basketball and you learn the game of basketball. Well, that sounds real cute, but man, it's hard to get them to learn the game of basketball. I mean, you got to back the train up. When we started, like they don't understand to go to the other end of the goal, the other end of the court. And so,
some do. I mean, it's mixed.
It's a mix. So it's been so fun. But again, just being at the funeral today of my coach, of Coach C, was really just a reminder of like, man, I just took off from work. I canceled a meeting. I put on nice clothes, which all things I don't love to do. I drove to go to this funeral because this man poured into my life. Mm-hmm. And it just reminded me of if you are a teacher, if you are a coach, if you are a youth minister, whatever you're doing, if you are in the lives of kids day in and day out, I sat there and I just was so thankful for the opportunity to be these kids' coach. Not because, well, hopefully they're going to come to my funeral. I mean, that's important, but not because of that. But just because I thought about this man and what it meant for me as I grew up, his just faithfulness. Like he was a very quiet spoken cowboy, funny guy. And he would just kind of mess with you and he'd call me Moondog. And, you know, the only time he ever got cross at me, which he was not afraid to get, on you if need be, but I knew that. So I kind of stayed in the box. But the only time I remember him getting on to me is I'd been taken out of the game and it was over and we'd lost to Scranton. This is junior high. So I was a ninth grader, Scranton Rockets, if you're out there.
I mean, he remembers these specific things.
So
I think
Brent Lays was kind of on the other team. And, he was not my favorite. He kind of had this skater haircut, probably still does knowing him. But so there I go. I come out of the game and I sit on the bench and we were doing a little talking, Jen. I was doing a little talking
Matt gabs just a little.
I'm not afraid to let you know what I think about your basketball game if I'm going out and I'm not happy. And so he definitely, I remember vividly him looking down the bench, which I was trying to get on the end of it so I could get away with my little argument, yelling, "Who's talking to him? Who's talking to him?" And that was the end of that. I didn't do that anymore. So I really was remembering today how important people have been in my own life, and that like as I'm not kidding, just as tiring as it can be, as hard as it can be to do those back to back practices with these guys, because the boys are second. I would flip that if I could do it again. But as hard as it is, you know, just a shout out to all the teachers and the coaches and the folks working with kids. Keep it up. It is, you're doing something worthy and hard.
And you're doing it too. You've stuck with it and these kids are learning, even though it doesn't seem like it. I think they are. And I've seen them, you know, progress a little. And from a parent perspective, I love basketball season. I'm happy with all the activities of the kids, but I don't know the first thing about soccer. So I just kind of rah-rah and sit there and try to, you know,
rah-rah.
You know, rah-rah. And then Hazel loves plays. Clueless on that. I'm like, go get them. I don't know if you need help. You're going to have to ask somebody else. I don't know. But then with basketball, like, I understand it, and it's fun. I can go out and shoot with them, and, you know, like, I try to kick the soccer ball around. It's a disaster. But I could go shoot with them and play with them, and it's really pretty fun. I like basketball.
And something that we've kind of determined that's kind of hard about basketball season or sports or me coaching them, Jenny, and I'm going to let you talk about this, is just the spicy idea.
So here's the thing. Let me take you to our first basketball game. Kids are excited about their first basketball game. If you go to the girls, some of them are kind of skipping, maybe. You know, they're kind of fun. They're kind of laid back. I would not describe our family in general as laid back and, okay, like, you know, chill. None of those things really come to mind, especially when it comes to something like this. Like, Hazel
just
really
actually
cares
just
about
when
basketball.
It comes to competition.
And so she cares. So, like, there was a situation that upset her. She made a mistake. And, I mean, she was really upset.
She did what we have all done. If you've played basketball at some point in your life, she stole the ball and scored on the wrong goal.
Yeah.
It was actually a great play.
It was, but she, I mean,
wrong goal.
She knew right away, and she was real disappointed in herself. So it was kind of an emotional event. Then you fast forward, Anders, really thought he was going to be kind of like star player, and he got stopped by, like, the defense, like, really stopped him, and he was real frustrated.
Well, he
showed his frustration.
He's a great basketball player, but
he met
a great player.
And so he's crying at one point. So, I mean, I left that day going, they are all crying.
I, like, give up.
What is happening? Why are other kids, like, laughing and having fun, and our kids are crying?
Now, mind you, they're running off the court crying to me, and I am pushing them. I am just like, I cannot coach and pat your back and wipe your tears. So it was a little, you know, tough love moment for them, because I want, as a dad, like, you're running off and you're crying. I want to, and I did. I didn't just completely ignore them at all, but I wasn't able to, like, give them my full attention. So it just, I mean, sports is just this microcosm. Anything you do is just an opportunity to be teaching your kids, to be along with them in that. But they're spicy.
But
and
they're
they came
spicy.
Off the court.
And that, I get that word from Jen Hatmaker Talk. She had a post a long time ago, and then she put it in her book, For the Love, from that post that talks about families being sweet or spicy. And that there are some that are just more chill. And she says, we are not those people. And I say, we are not those people. You know, there's a level of intensity with our kiddos. And what I hope to do, and I mean this from the bottom of my heart, even in the moment, I'm like, what is happening? How am I supposed to parent crying kids everywhere when they're so, you know, it's just a game. But I really do hope and pray that God will use that and will shape that for them to be world changers. I mean, I think that he uses those passionate, emotional, intense people to do passionate, emotional, and intense things. And so that's, you know, it was a good reminder day one of basketball games to be praying that God will shape those things in our kids.
Yeah. And that's such good perspective, because definitely when it's happening, you feel like, we're those people.
I have failed them. They do not know how to cope with life.
And I just kind of walked off, and I'm like, hey, Jenny, I don't think it's working. Like, we're the ones that they're running off. They're crying. What's going on? And so I think that that's great perspective. And since then, it also, I think, was just the first game is intense, you know?
They had built it up in their head.
For only them.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's what's funny is, you know, I mean, other kids, they don't have those feelings about basketball. I'm sure they have it about something else or in some other way. But it has been fun to watch and fun to be a part of. This week was also the Grammys, Jenny.
It was the Grammys. Did y'all see the Grammys?
I mean, most people, you think most people did or did not?
Oh, did. Surely.
Yeah, that's you, though. I mean, you're the pop culture queen here on the podcast.
I mean, I didn't get to see all of it because I can't let my kids watch it. You know, you just never know what's
going to
happen.
There's a lot of gyrating.
A lot of stuff going.
Gyrating
in
on the Grammys.
Past. I mean, I don't know that there was anything super risque this year, but I didn't see it all. So
yeah.
I don't know.
Well, I mean, do you give us, like, your top three highlights of the Grammys or lowlights? Just, you know, top three little things. What were your, break it down for us.
Number one, Adele. Did we see Adele? Everyone saw Adele. So even if you didn't watch it, you know that it went on. She was doing a tribute to George Michael. And so she's singing a rendition, like her own rendition of one of his songs, and she messes up and she's like, stops the whole thing. And I think everyone was like, oh, like only Adele could get away with stopping this live show at the Grammys. Like everyone else tries to play everything off and be super cool.
She was
and
she's not
like,
playing it off.
I'm sorry. Stop. I'm starting over.
And I will say, like, I think you get a huge pass. And she said, and I thought this was meaningful. She said, I can't mess this up for him.
Yeah, she felt.
And I mean, I think the minute she said that, if she had done a hey stop on her own song and I don't sound as good as I want to, probably a little bit, you know, like I think there was a Mariah Carey moment not too long ago where she got frustrated with something else, you know. This was different than that. This felt like
for meaning, someone else, yeah.
Yeah, it felt like she's trying to do this right. She got messed up so much so that she's like,
gotta
stop the show,
start
it over. Rewind the tape. We doing that again. And it was pretty cool.
I thought it was awesome. I mean, I actually showed it to the kids to just say, like, she's in a world where everyone cares. Everyone's trying to be, you know, this, that, or another. But she just, like, didn't care. You know, like, no, she's totally herself. So that's pretty funny. Here's another thing. Number two about the Grammys is that we have talked before. I know nothing of technology. I cannot judge people who do tech and sound and all that. But you are the Grammys. And why every year are there sound issues?
You know, you nailed this one on the head. You're like, every single year, they're messing with their little thing in their ear and you can't hear them. Metallica? Was it Metallica? You just couldn't even hear him at all up there with Lady Gaga. Which honestly, from my point of view at 39, was like a total blessing. Like, that's just beside the point. You would think they could get this right.
And like Katy Perry is like messing with her earpiece and somebody else, like everyone's messing with their earpiece and it sounds like a little off and they kind of fix it. And last year Adele's thing was messed up. I mean,
it is kind of, you got to fix that,
like,
guys.
You're like the best in the biz, right?
Well,
fix
apparently
that.
Not. I mean, you know, I don't know. But
I
they
don't
can't,
know.
They can't fix it. What was your third one?
My third one is also Adele, and that is at the end when she like racked up on, she got best album and best record. Is that what they say? Not album,
yeah.
And record.
Yeah.
It's like
so
song.
She got the last two.
Maybe so song and album.
No,
something.
It's album and record, I believe.
Okay. She won the last two for the song and then the whole album. Whatever you call it. And so she was against Beyonce in both of those. And just was like so respectful of her and just said like how her album had, you know, changed her life. No, I mean, I don't know. She talked about how great Beyonce was. And I thought that was super cool. Like she did it in a way that was genuine, that wasn't like over the top, or she wasn't humble bragging, you know?
Yeah.
She wasn't like false humility. She was like really just saying like, you know, you created great art, is the way she would say that.
And
I
don't
mean,
you think
cool.
Just by way of like people liking her, like that's part of the attraction of Adele. Like you just hit three highlights and two of them were her,
yeah,
being a person,
yeah, her, like, just being herself,
being a human. Look at that. Way to go, Adele. We applaud you. Well, there you have it. It is a Matt Chat, and it is in the books. We sure appreciate you listening. As always, you could find show notes, links, and more information at theatypicallife.com, or you could find the podcast and more episodes as well on iTunes.
Another thought on Valentine's, and that is if you have kids, or if you're going to have kids one day, or if you already have had kids, then you understand Valentine's Day parties are like a whole thing. And I realize that there are good mothers out there on all, you know, no matter how you feel about this. I am not a good mother in this area. Like it drives me crazy. Like all the Valentine's, it's not that I don't want my kids to give Valentine's and get Valentine's, but it's just, there is like, we're killing a lot of trees. There's all these little papers that are just going to get thrown away. There's junk. I mean, it's just super wasteful. And I'm not even like real like granola. I mean, I try to do what I can, but.
But you don't hate it because it's bad for the earth. You hate it because
you hate it. Because it's bad for the earth. I hate it because my kids get so hyped up on candy and they think the only way to celebrate anything is with Fun Dip and icing. And I hate it because there's this like pressure, like some people make their own boxes and some people make their own Valentines and some people buy them. And like no matter what, that's going to be in the trash. So like, why are we wasting our life? Just like the girls who take their pictures. We are wasting so much of our life over something that like, does it have a deep impact?
Maybe some people get enjoyment out of that though. Let them do their thing and not you don't feel pressured.
You be you and I will be me.